already. Okay. During this call this meeting of the Millstone Township Board of Adjustment to order. Mr. Morrell, do you mind reading the adequate notice?
In accordance with Chapter 231, PL 1975, the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided as required, specifying time and location, with such notices being sent to the Asbury Park Press and the Times of Trent, posted on the Municipal Public Notice Meeting Bulletin Board, filed at the Township Clerk.
Okay, thank you. And do we need to swear on our board members?
No, they were sworn in, Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting, so we're okay.
Good with that. Excellent. Okay, can you all join me in a flag salute, after which we'll stand for a moment of silence in respect to those who currently serve our country and those who have served in the past.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Any else? Can we have a roll call, please?
Chairman Napolino.
I'm here.
Mr. Lambros.
Here.
Mr. Morelli.
Here.
Mr. Mostyn.
Here.
Mr. Sinha.
Here.
Ms. Beckish.
Here.
And for the record, Vice Chairman Barthamus, Mr. Ferrara, and Army Board Member Ms. Arpaia are absent today. Ms. Beckish will be seated for Vice Chairman Barthamus.
Okay. Good. First up, we have, we don't have minutes. Is that correct?
I canceled the second set of minutes. The first set of minutes you had.
Oh, July 27th?
Yes.
That was the last meeting, wasn't it?
Yes. But December.
Which minutes do we not have?
December 9th, 2021.
December 9th, we don't. Okay. Got it. Okay. Ask for anyone have any comments on the July 27th meeting minutes. I did not review them because I was not at that meeting. Anyone need more time to review those minutes? And have any changes, comments, issues? I'd like to ask for a motion to approve those minutes then. Public. Okay. And Bruce, can you get a second, please?
Oh, second.
Get a roll call, please.
Mr. Lambros?
Yes.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Mr. Sinha?
Yes.
And Ms. Beckish?
Yes. Okay. All right. And then the December 9th meeting minutes we do not have. Then next up is resolutions for Mosca Rotolo. This was an appeal of the zoning office's determination. And resolution came out earlier this week via email. I took a look at it after I reviewed the audio tapes, and it looked like it was fine to me. And I know Mr. Paul also reviewed it. Does anyone else need more time to review that resolution?
And before marriage, you'll see I did note that that reversal was neat, only related to that app. It's very clear that it wasn't precedental for any person other than that particular opportunity.
So, anybody have anything further on that resolution? And I think the people that voted yes are eligible to vote on the resolution.
Correct. Voted no, you're not vote on the resolution.
Okay. So, I would like to ask for a motion from someone who's eligible to approve that resolution. We get a second.
I'll second.
And the roll call,
Morelli. Thank you. Chairman Napolino, I know you listened to the recording. Are you comfortable with voting on that resolution?
No, he can't vote. He didn't vote on the resolution.
Mr. Morelli?
Yes.
Mr. Sinha?
Yes.
And Ms. Beckish?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up on our agenda is a continued application. This is for the Sycamores LLC, 6 Oak Hill Drive, application Z22-07. Put on the record that I listened to the audio?
Yes.
Okay. And I listened to the audio tape from the last meeting, so I just signed the affidavit. Certification. So I'm eligible. You're good.
Mr. Chairman, this is a carryover application. It was carried without further notice. July meeting, the applicant has provided additional plans, associated documents, and our board professionals have also updated their exhibits or reports, I should say. And so for the record, if you do a normal first, I'm going to read it for the record. The following items have continued to mark this application as A11, the variant sketch plan prepared by Concept Engineering Consultants, revised 8-8-2022 consisting of 5 sheets. A12, transmittal sheet and narrative description, resubmission plan, change from 8-8-22, hitting 2 pages prepared by Concept Engineering Consultants. A13 is photo from Mott Street, the area proposed directional drill within the steep slope area dated 8-16-22. And A14 is a photo from Moore Lane, 2 lot, at proposed driveway area dated 8-16-22. 4 professionals have updated their reports. We'll mark it ZB-2B, our plans report, number 2, dated 8-17-22. And then CD3, the Environmental Commission's report, dated 8-15-22, and SDB1, engineer's review, provides 8-12-22. Counsel, after you enter your appearance, you will be ready to enter any additional documents necessary or appropriate for your application.
Thank you, Mr. Bella. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members, professionals, and staff. Peter Licata of the law firm of Sonnenberg, Mayer, and Licata. I'm stepping in tonight for Mr. Weiss. I am playing backup quarterback to the applicant as Mr. Weiss is home with COVID. As you know, it's a continued application. I have with me tonight Mr. Piscata, who is the project engineer and planner. I have Mr. A. Boodleman in the gallery, who's a principal of the applicant, and also Gary Lavalla, who is a certified tree expert, certified arborist, who has served in that capacity for a number of municipalities and boards, and will be testifying tonight. I believe, did we already reference the 2 photographs that were added?
Yes, they were A13 and A14. A13 was the directional drill photo, and A14 is the proposed driveway.
Thank you. Mr. Piscata testified before. I don't know whether, Mr. Bell, it's your pleasure to rely on
Mr. Piscata, you previously informed the advisor still on the record.
Thank you.
John, could you give the board an overview of where we left off and the provisions that have been submitted?
Sure. This is 6 Oak Hill Drive, which is a very steep slope area. It has a lot of trees on the property. It's 60,000 square feet. 1.3 acres, a vacant lot, been vacant for many years, and portion of the hill, portion of the property, putting at Oak Hill, is encumbered by steep slopes of 50% or greater. And based on that report last time, we now show a 60 by 200 foot easement for conservation to preserve those slopes on Oak Hill Drive. The map was filed in 1987, and the project has 14 lots. The lots to our right and to our left are both 60,000 square feet. And out of the 14 lots, 7 are in the area of 60,000 to 67,000. And the other 7 lots are 80,000 or larger. Back in 87, when that was filed. So half the lots are almost the same size as our lot. And the other lots are larger. But the 2 lots next to us are both 60,000. Our lot's steep. It's an area where we can place the house. It's a flat area. We pick that area on Laurel Drive or the driveway. And that minimizes the impact on the steep slopes. Because there are steep slopes on Laurel, and there are steep slopes on Oak Hill. So there's no place not to cover the steep slopes with the driveway, you came over half. So the driveway at the least intensive area where the steep slopes are about 560 square feet of steep slopes that were disturbing and taking down maybe 10 or 15 trees in that area. The lots has excellent soils, good standing soils for infiltration, and we need variances for two elements, which we discussed last time. One is the fact that we're disturbing the steep slopes, and the other is the fact that we don't fit the criteria for the R80 zone with the circle and the approval area. Those are required to be 1 acre and 2 foot diameter circle. However, we easily put the house on the property, and that's a pre-existing condition. As you look at the planning for this area, and you think about it, when you look at lots that are unusual features, you have a hardship variance because of the lot itself, not because of any specific thing you're doing. So you have a hardship due to the disturbance of steep slopes. You have a hardship to get a driveway in, and due to the size of the property. And you have houses on both sides of that lot. There's no way to buy more land to make it conforming. So we have those things. We talked about being almost inverse condemnation on those items last time. We have another variance for building height. We have a pitched roof that puts it about 2 feet, less than 2 feet higher than the ordinance allows. And as we said last time, if the board didn't think that was significant, didn't think that was important, we would make the roof less pitch, but make it conform to the ordinance. So the filling peak roof provides a more desirable visual effect for the front. The Groundwater Commission did a report, and they suggested we do some additional plantings be included along the newly constructed driveway to help mitigate potential erosion issues. We agree with that. They mentioned the directional drill. Now, in order to bring electric into the property, we suggested doing a directional drill, which is usually done about 3 or 4 feet deep so that the top's not disturbed. They do this at areas where there's streams, where there's environmental sensitive areas, where there's highways. I did directional drilling of my own building on 33. We did, of course, by Peking Pavilion a couple of years ago, because that's the only way you can do that. So directional drill is an environmentally way to minimize improvements. Now, since the last meeting, Abe, the owner applicant, was out there, took some pictures looking from the area where the slope levels off back down the steep slopes to the road, and you can see there's an open pathway that's probably 15 feet wide, more or less, on the screen that could be used to actually dig a trench. So we're proposing not to dig it, but to put in a directional drill so nothing was being disturbed in that area. The directional drill would probably be 4 or 5 feet deep, and we would not have any impact. I would refer to Mr. Gary Lovallo, who's with us tonight. He's been the arborist of an elephant in Jackson, is in Old Bridge for the last 40 or 50 years that I've known him, regarding what his opinion is on this directional drill going in that area where he visited the site today recently. That's a summary of where we stood last time, and with respect to the area.
And again, John, that photo there, that is the area where we would be directional drilling if approved under the surface.
That's correct, and we would locate it on the next revision to the plan for mass compliance. I mean, that asks us to do some other things, which were A, B, C, and D in the report. We comply with that also.
And as you mentioned, directional drilling is different than open top trenching, as it does not dig through the surface down to the depth.
Correct. correct. They dig a hole at one end, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 feet deep, set their equipment, and then they drill underneath the soil to come out into the roadway. So there's no disturbance of that area you see right there.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would make Mr. Pluskonka available for questions from the board's professionals and the board.
Just want to make sure, Matt, is everything addressed in your report? I think we had questions about how much soil would be included.
We still don't have that number. The amount of soil to be removed would be for the basement area only, and that would be about 300 yards.
Is that a reasonable amount?
You're
asking to be approved that this may be by meeting later.
Over 400 can be served. 300 is a good
number. What about soil coming in?
No soil is coming in.
Okay. So, did you show the location of those dry well on any new maps that you submitted?
One question that was spoken at the last board meeting was the electric. There was a conversation. I know you're proposing the drill, but there was questions of, you know, why can't you run it around the property and bring it up the driveway instead of drilling through the conservation? Did you guys look at that? That was a question the board had at the last meeting.
Abe did call the station camera has been testified. I think another question that was raised was how much taxes were paid on this property in the last 20 years. It takes like $72,000 in taxes were paid to the town for this lot. Question you brought up, Council.
I don't know, I would never ask that. Though, I can tell you where that came up, wasn't that we asked. It was in the conversation of zoning in utility, and that the town has accepted money over the years and right to develop a property, and in the event it is zoned into utility, meaning our orders prohibit a house there, the town would have to buy it because they've accepted all this money. It's not whether how much money the property has paid over the life of the property, it's absolutely nothing. So it was just in the context of the
agreed and understood. In terms of the question about moving the utility line, what specifically, if anything, can we advise the board?
Well, we do know that the service was placed in 89 or 89, 90 at that location, so that's the point to get the service from. That's reasonable. Is there a way to get it some other way? Abe's been trying to find out. I think he's been unsuccessful, but he has to testify that. So.
You don't have an answer?
Abe is going to testify about it.
Going up that path. That path will go all the way up and kind of touch the streets.
Right.
I can't tell. I mean, picture. I don't know how far it is from the garage when it's up to the house. Can you tell her that that's 15 foot path all the way out
to
the
driveway.
I mean, not the driveway, it's electric. 15 foot path all the way out.
This is a path that's, I think it's 80 foot long.
Okay.
And the conservation is 6 foot deep. So it's way beyond the conservation area.
Mr. Bootman, do you want to step up and be sworn in to address the question that's been raised?
Yeah. Mr. Bootman, previously sworn, please be advised you're still on direct.
I spoke to Jersey Center Power Light, and that would require a lot of engineering on their part to decide where they could come from to service this lot alternately than what exists today. And to answer your question about digging around the lot, we would have to be digging right alongside the steep slope and the sidewalk, and that would disturb that whole area for a few hundred feet, at least 200 feet, on Laurel, and then the distance on Oak Hill from the corner to where the line is. So we would have to be digging alongside that sidewalk and the steep slope area. And then as we get toward the driveway, we wouldn't want to run the line under the driveway. We would still have to directional drill up the driveway alongside it, which would still be in the steep slope, and just a whole lot more disturbance going on than this. No one will ever know that it's been done. It disappeared. There's no trees. There's no roots that we're going to destroy. We have a CPE to testify to that. It's the easiest way and the most direct way. And that's the way it was designed originally by Jersey Central, to have a line there that we're attaching. And as far as the disturbance on the lot itself, the directional driller drills down the lot. So he'll be setting up outside the conservation area, going down the hill, and then open up a small hole where the existing wire is, make the connection. That's it.
Okay. Do you remember any questions about this directional drilling?
Okay. Thank you.
Right. So, Matt, I think we covered the two open issues, all the open issues in your report.
The only open issue that's left is the directional drilling. So when I got
they did send a letter.
Yes.
And they're concerned about the roots of the trees.
They asked me to investigate or comment. So I did contact our shade tree commission certified tree experts. Our shade tree commission doesn't usually look at both variances, but this came up. So I did talk to her a week ago. Out for a vacation for a couple of weeks, but I did tell her what's going on. We actually have a lot of concerns.
This could
affect trees, roots. Not sure what kind of trees they are. I have a whole paragraph that was talking about.
This is from
Lisa
Rebut. Okay.
Certified tree. Remember us for that.
She's certified.
Jessica? Lisa.
Lisa Spaziano Rebut.
She's been around town for a long time. Right, so her concerns are with maybe filming some trees by doing this directional drilling.
We're going to be close to the truck. It seems like stability, steep slopes, and she was not in favor.
Not in favor of it. Okay.
And again, I know you sent me pictures afterwards. Send her the pictures. She don't even change her mind. So, I probably have a certain picture that says problem.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, obviously we have a certified tree expert whose purpose here is to address this question.
All right. Is that your next witness?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the only thing?
My next question is, what are you doing with cable? How's the cable going down?
I do not know, but it was probably, it was coming from the same direction. It would be the same.
So not really doing two boring.
There could be one boring and two long.
I think Mr. Budelman probably has an answer.
Coming back up.
Still under up.
Okay. As far as cable goes, they can go anywhere. They'll probably go right up the driveway. They don't have to follow the electric line.
I know that. I just didn't know how you're getting.
You're going to go up the driveway.
Next to the gas main or driveway or whatever.
Gas main, go up the driveway. But the gas runs up that street. You can look into the gas anyway. It's not an issue.
And the cable?
Same thing. So they'll run it from where it exists today.
But there's no poles there. Right?
They're all underground. They're probably
going on the ground?
Everything. So they're probably going to have to drill under Laurel to get it across the street and then up the driveway.
The electric underground too?
Absolutely.
Why did you say they have to run the electric from where it is all the way around the driveway? Why couldn't it be in front of it? I don't know.
Because the transformer that feeds this that the transformers are located on this corner and then on the other side of Laurel. They would have to engineer to find out which transformer has the capacity. If it does, feed that house. We don't even know if the transformers have the capacity. We know the one that was designed for it has the capacity. That's where we're trying to, that's our spot.
Did they tell you which transformer?
It's used for that one.
It would be used for you.
It's directly across the street from the line.
Well, really, really. When you get this up to the
ground,
yeah.
They put it in. So
they're just going to
run the line.
No, you already have one transformer. It's across the street.
Oh, they're just
going to. They're just going to connect to it. It's already there. Just
they,
put in.
They don't do the drilling for it. You do that.
I'm going to do the drilling.
They just go.
They're going to make, they're going to make the connection.
Correct.
We're going to do the boring, 60 feet, and then come back and do the hookup.
Okay. You know what the size of the...
We're going to do a 4-inch.
4-inch?
Yeah.
Plastic?
Yes. Plastic.
And by 4-inch, you mean a 4-inch conduit?
4-inch conduit. Because we have, it's going to be a 400-amp service, big cable, you want to have enough room to be able to pull it.
Any other questions on directional drilling before we bring in the tree expert? Okay, let's move to the tree expert.
Thank you. Mr. Lavallo.
Mr. Lavallo, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give the whole truth, not but the truth?
I will.
Please state your name for the record, spelling your last name, sir.
Gary Lavallo, L-O-V-A-L-L-O.
Please have a seat. Could you state for the board first your educational qualifications?
I have a 4-year bachelor of science degree from Rutgers University in the field of natural resource management, especially in forestry. Now it's called a licensed tree expert. Since 2010, it changed from certified tree to licensed. I'm a certified forester by the Society of American Foresters. I'm a certified arborist by the International Society of Horticulture. And I'm an approved forester by the state of New Jersey, which gives me the right to write management plans.
Did you testify before zoning boards before?
My job, actually, is I work for municipalities on that side of the table for Monroe and Old Bridge. Manawan, the city of Newark, Jackson, Manalden for many, many years. And my job there is to review site plans for tree disturbances, come up with a limit of disturbance, protect trees, assess permits, and also work on tree preservation from the townships, the municipal side.
Okay. We'll accept Mr. Lavallo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you know
Mr.
Spaziano Rodotti?
Yes, I do know her.
Yes.
So, Mr. Lavallo, you have familiarized yourself with this plan?
Yes.
And where the applicant would propose to do the directional drilling for
yes.
the utility line?
Yes.
And you're familiar with where the trees are in relation to the pathway of that directional drilling?
Yes.
Could you share for the board what your observations are, paying particular attention to what impact that would have on trees and slopes?
So the vegetation on site is almost 100% chestnut oak. And the picture that you see right there, if you can see the bark of the tree just at the lower right corner, that's a little bit more than 80 feet in. So if the proposed recovery pit, when you do a bore, you have a launch and then a recovery pit is going to be more than 20 feet away from that tree right there. The disturbance of the boring on that is minimal. If the only disturbance that's going to be is outside the conservation easement on the sidewalk side and then outside the conservation 20 feet from the nearest tree. Underneath the ground, the majority of the roots are feeder roots, which are the most important roots, are 8 to 10 inches in the topsoil. This, I understand this is going to be more than 3 feet deep. So you're very rare, you know, be hard-pressed to find a root down that deep that's going to interfere. With the soils in New Jersey, taproots are not very common. You find taproots in the Pine Barrens because there's a lot of sand, but on the types of soil here, taproots taper out very rapidly. So the boring that's going on here He won't even know it was done. The vegetation that's on the side, the low bush blueberry that's on the bottom, ticks and chiggers that are in there, won't even know that the line was underneath. Minimum disturbance, and it's something that I try to promote on any situations like this.
Again, I spoke to Lisa. She had not now time to visit the site. So that was a good advantage for her. But she had seen the site.
She has concerns about the
question of the root, what kind of trees and all that stuff. But she said there are
chestnuts.
Yes. So, unfortunately, she's going to wait till next week. Not for you guys, but if you want to stop the meeting out there, Lisa is okay with it. Go on, let's get that out of the mess. It's up to you guys.
Well, is there an area where there's no trees?
By the driver,
there's a lot of trees on the property.
Sure.
So, you know, there happens to be a few trees that, you know, would have fallen down. There's still plenty of trees.
Maybe the back of the curve, there are trees that close to the curve. So there's sidewalk, curve, and trees all along. He has to dig that area.
There's no doubt about that. The amount of distance from where it's stubbed off to go around that corner of the other side, you're going to be impacting quite a few trees because you're going to be right through the top 8 to 10 inches of soil. The feeder roots are the most important one, not for stability, but the most important one to keep the tree healthy, and especially during the drought period. Expose those roots. It could have some consequences.
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Brudelman would like to testify as to the image he has of the area where, I guess, it's one of tunnels that go down for the directional drilling as it relates to nearby trees.
Okay.
So basically, this is a picture of Laurel.
Okay.
Which we can put it up there.
Is that, should already,
that's 814.
As it's coming in.
Okay. Yeah, you can hold that up until also with the urban
marks. Yeah,
okay.
But basically,
don't hit Danielle. Yeah, you're not going to see it.
Just point to it there.
Yeah, just put on the easel. So basically, there's a flat area from the street on Oak Hill. Obviously, there's a sidewalk. Laurel does not have a sidewalk, but there is a flat area beyond the sidewalk that we can dig a 3-foot by 3-foot hole, make that hookup with the directional drill. The big hole is on top of the hill outside the conservation area. That's where the equipment is set up. The hole that's dug down at Oak Hill is just dug by hand. There's no big machine. The 3-foot hole that's dug makes the connection with the electric line. But there is a flat area with no trees, no compost.
Okay. How big is the hole there? How big is the bore? What's the diameter of the bore?
It's a four inch sleeve.
Yeah, that's the sleeve, but the actual bore itself through which the sleeve will pass.
Probably 6 inch. Yeah, I don't know for sure. But it's no bigger than that.
Four, and then you sleeve it, and then you put your utility in the sleeve.
I can't say I'm a drilling expert.
You are a builder.
I'm a builder. The way I understand they do it is they bore and then they run the sleeve.
And then the cable goes.
Then they come back and run the electrician runs the cable back in.
Any other questions on the directional drilling with the trees at this point?
Well, remember. The trees, the environmental commission, they're taking out a lot of them. I think what I read it say, you need to set 15. I mean, I'm,
concerned on environmental commission because if you take the trees out, there's only going to be soil erosion and stuff coming down the driveway. So I'm trying to figure out a way you can do that.
I think we counted there was 8 trees in the area where the driveway was cut. The environmental commission suggested that we do additional planting to remove at the root. In my speech initially, I said we're going to do that. We're going to plant. The number of trees that come out, we're saying the same number of trees for erosion control nearby that area. Yes. Whatever's there, we close. Okay. I'm not sure if it's 15 or 8. I think
this erosion is a commission. If you're taking out all those trees.
Yeah, that was brought up at the last meeting, yeah, and it's been addressed. Okay. Anything else on the direction of drilling? No.
Just one other general question. Yeah. I asked the chestnut oaks are 8 to 10 inches in depth.
Correct, the theater roots.
Okay. And I think, I don't know, someone else may have mentioned that the upper pit's going to be about 5 feet deep.
Correct. Okay. I'll get that.
So if we're going direction, we'll be well below that root system.
Oh, absolutely.
If needed, upper pit getting a little deeper help if needed, if that is a concern.
You mean for the one?
Yeah.
I can jump in on that. Okay. Basically, I'm standing at, in that picture, at 80 feet. Conservation area is 60. We're actually going to be, we have to run a conduit all the way to the house, which is 115 feet. So we're probably going to be set up closer to the house, further away from that conservation area.
So are you saying that a 3-foot pit is going to keep you from under the depth of the caverns?
We're saying we're going to be down about 5 feet.
Right.
And before we do a dig, yeah, we're going to have Mr. Shafai there go over procedures before we do anything, make sure that we're on the same page, being deep enough as per Gary's test.
I think you asked if people would better. 3 feet is adequate.
Okay. If you want 4, we'll do 4.
I think, you know, what we're hearing is we're going to keep it at least 16 inches below the surface so that we don't interfere with any theater. Whatever the geometry of needs to be to make that happen. That I'm sure we'll figure it out.
3 feet in the street, 5 feet all the way down. Well, at minimum, 3 feet all the way up to that.
Okay. Very good. All right.
Yes, is there certain trees that are better for the erosion? If they take the trees by the driveway with the driver going, are they just not?
Yeah,
just about every tree is on that site.
So, are you going to replace it with a chestnut oak?
That's a
battle. What do you
recommend?
I just have a problem with erosion. I'm sorry.
I agree. Members of the public will get the chance to speak later.
Any plant, even a shrub, a juniper, trees that have more of a fibrous root system are great for erosion control. The stability of the soil, the trees won't establish immediately. So the erosion control method, whatever's put in, whether it's hay or jute matting, anything like that, will stop anything from going in the street. That'll work just well. But the trees and the vegetation take time to occupy the area to permanently control erosion.
Okay. We'll move on.
I would only reserve the right to recall witnesses in response to questions that may come up at this point forward.
Our direct testimony. Okay. For professionals, any burning questions right now?
From what I heard, seems like there should be okay drilling on that.
It was my biggest answer, but the one question I had, I think there's just a typo on their vice
Board members, any other burning questions before we open it up to the public? Okay. At this point, I'd like to open this application up to the public. Any members that want to come forward, ask questions, or testify? Ma'am, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the following testimony about to give the full truth, nothing but the truth. Just state your name for the record, spelling your last name, give your address.
Maria Maraday, M-A-R-A-D-A-Y, Oak Hill. Your neighbor to this property.
Members of the public, I know a bunch of you guys testified. I have Maria, Jim, Tristan, and Michelle. You're going to testify again. Just remind me that you testified the last time so I can tell you you're already sworn in. So,
no problem.
Say a couple seconds.
Number one, not one person on the board has mentioned something that we mentioned last meeting, and that Pullen owned that property for 40 years, whatever, and never been built on all this time. I purchased the lot next to that, which is 4 Oak Hill, purchased the house there. And when we were purchasing the house, the first question we asked was, why was this land never built? For 40 years, Pullen, who's been known in the town of Millstone for owning several properties, why it was never built, and we were told that it was an unconforming lot. Not one person here tonight has mentioned, you talk about variances, you talk about drilling, you talk about oak trees, but no one has mentioned that it's an unbuildable lot because it's a house that's built on less than an acre of land. When we purchased our house, we asked, right? We have 4 grown children. Maybe one day we'll purchase land, build a house for one of our children on there. But we were told it's an unconforming lot, can't build a house there, so we just went by that.
Was it that told you that?
Just talking to the realtor. You know, they're supposed to disclose any information that they know, but they said it was an unbuildable lot. So now, if I had purchased that, like this gentleman had purchased the land, and then 5 years later, we're there 2.5 years, 5 years later, one of my children decided to get married and I wanted to build a house on it, would any of you people here be doing what you're doing for him, for me? If I said to you, I want to build a house on an unbuildable lot, you would say to me, Maria, it's not the right size. It's not a buildable lot. If you're talking about building a 5,000 square foot house on a piece of property that isn't an acre of land, forget about the variances, forget about the height, forget about all these other details, boring holes through the land, through oak trees, and just by the way, there's lots of chiggers, and second of all, it's all filled with deep-rooted trees and rocks. So whatever they're drilling rocks. So when they're talking about how much dirt they're going to be taking away, they don't know about how many rocks are there yet either. So it's a lot of erosion that could possibly happen. Talking about tree removal, I've heard such horrible stories. Arborists do great jobs and protecting the trees, but even FEMA has made mistakes in the past where they were coming through during storms and say, okay, these particular trees have to come down or cause trouble, come and clear out these trees, and they've taken extra trees that weren't supposed to be taken down, and in spite of that, they said, oh, we're so sorry, we took down an extra acre of trees, so we'll plant some little saplings. You know, in the meantime, it took 40 years for those oak trees to grow. So if he's going to plant a little sapling after he destroyed the whole amount of land of oak trees, I just can't imagine that, you know, it took 40 years to grow those trees. It's just going to put some little tree wherever he thinks. But the most important question that was never addressed was that it's an unbuildable lot.
Okay, so I think that was addressed last meeting. At least I heard it.
But it's been overlooked tonight.
It's not an unbuildable lot. That was just one of the last meetings.
It's less than an acre. It's
0.75. It's a terminology. It's undersized, right? Doesn't mean it's unbuildable. I went through the whole speech last time. There's plenty of properties that are undersized in every town that just because they're undersized doesn't mean that a house can't be built. There are variances that relate to size area. That's why these boards are created to deal with issues. When they do the zone, they guess, or they say the property is going to be 100 feet by 800 feet if here are the parameters. Okay? Now, not every lot is a perfect box or rectangle. So that's why this board is created
technical standards of an ordinance and whether the applicant has satisfied their burden for proof of that. Now, this is a unique situation where the variances are not setback related, not building it too close to your property where, say, 50 feet required, they're building only 30. The variances that are associated here are the inherent size of the lot. And I went through the whole story that the only way this house gets built is through variances regarding the steep slopes, which was not in place when the lot was created. Now, the board has to weigh all that and make a determination. If they make a determination, I said, of course, there's potential. You say, you're not allowed to disturb any steep slopes on this property. There may be a lawsuit, probably will be a lawsuit, saying, hey, town, you just ruled I can't. The zoning board said I can't do any steep slope, and every frontage of this property is steep slope. I can't build on there. Hey, town, you have to buy it. Okay? That's the law. So the board has the right to do that, but you have to weigh the factors that each property is unique. The applicant has a burden to show whether it's a hardship, should they get relief from this condition of 1 acre or steep slopes. Board, you know, that's why we're created to make that weigh that determination and the legal requirements for them to do. So the terminology that it's unbuildable, it really just means it's undersized for the zone. And what you could build there is always a question.
But he had to know that. As an experienced builder, built in Millstone, built in Monmouth County, he should have known those variances.
He knows that for the law, he's entitled to build on it. And the real issue here is the subdivision was created for these ordinances and these requirements to put into effect. But at the time, the subdivision was approved by the planning board many years ago. We didn't have the steep slope variance or steep slope ordinance in place at that time. So when the lot was created, it was a built, not just buildable, but conforming lot. So over time, things got tightened up. And again, this lot is, I hate to say it, but it's more grandfathered in under the conditions of the laws that existed at the time the subdivision was created. Now, if someone was to come in today, say there was no homes there at all, if someone was to come in and try and do the subdivision in your neighborhood and create all of the lots that are there, it wouldn't happen today because of the ordinances that are replaced today. Really, it's already been decided that it's buildable lot when the subdivision was years ago by the planning.
But I thought that's why people didn't move to Millstone, because of the amounts of land and buildable lots.
They do.
That's the whole reason.
They do. And again, much of what's left in Millstone today that hasn't already been subdivided would fall under much more stringent requirements than was there in the past, in the early, late 80s, 90s, early 2000s, things were much different. There weren't as many bulk requirements and as many zoning requirements as, or as stringent, let's say, as they are today. There's only so much we can do. We can't unapprove the subdivision. That's just the way it is.
Thanks.
I was already sworn in last
time. Did you say your name, sir?
Tristan Meredith.
Yes, Tristan. You did. Please before, please advise yourself from.
Okay. So, the elephant in the room is what my mother was saying.
From Maria.
That 3/4 of an acre is what he's trying to build on. And I know that it's an unusual situation. That's why it is. He doesn't have enough land to produce a house. So why entertain any of these variances after? Because prior to that, you need a house in order to get these variances. Why are you entertaining anything like that? So he doesn't have the property, doesn't have the building grounds to build this house, this property, and he knew this beforehand. I'm just so confused on the fact that if you're experienced home, like, it almost seems like his intent was that he was going to ask for these ridiculous variances to get through to the board, You guys are just going to go ahead and go for it. But he doesn't have enough building ground to build this house. 3/4 acre. He can't do it. And that's how I feel. And then on top of that, you push the envelope even further, and you got steep slopes. You got grilling, and I agree with Mary on the commission with the shade tree commission, because I work for most of the time public works department. I know Lisa as well in the county. And I'm not saying, I don't know this gentleman over here. I don't know his qualifications. I don't know his certifications, but I know Lisa. She's a government worker, works for Shade Tree, and she didn't have a chance to look at this property. And there's trees and roots, and roots hold the ground together. And there was a landslide back in 1984 that the board, I tried to get pictures for, and there's some people know that it was a landslide in 1984 that eroded the land because it was being drilled and the house was being built. But like I said, the elephant in the room is 3/4 acre, doesn't have the land for it, and I think that he bought this with intent to ask for these ridiculous variances just to get past the board. And it's like, I don't understand. It's like,
which variances do you think are ridiculous?
I think you can't build on less than an acre of land, which he is, 3/4 acre. It's that's unusual.
Not the variance.
Well, let's say it's not the variance, but that's what it was. You can't build less than. Yeah, but it's an unusual situation because of the slope. You said that.
You have to deal with these
actually. Yeah, but unusual situation.
When the house fits, it doesn't touch any steep slope.
Right, but when you take those slopes, right, how much building ground do you have? Less than an acre.
Yeah, you can't. Right, but you said last time that you can't build on this spot. We have homes in town that, but yes, because this is an unusual situation.
I'm sure in the same neighborhood though.
You know what I'm saying? This is an unusual situation because of the slopes. The reason why there's less than an acre to build on is because of the steep slopes.
Correct.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I think that the intent of buying this lot, if you're going to spend $250,000 on a lot, do some homework on the lot, I think that part of the decision making here was we're going to get past the board because they're going to grant us these variances, and I think that it's wrong. I think that it's not right that, and Mary said something about the trees. I agree with that. The soil erosion, you're digging up the roots and drilling. It just seems very. I'm not confident at all in this entire situation at all. And I think that that's how I say my piece.
Again, you know, it's not that somebody gets by, right? This board, first thing, our first priority is to make sure that the following. Board. Right. I heard our attorney explain multiple times that the law permits us. And if we were to deny it, then the applicant's remedy is to go to Superior Court over in Freehold,
right?
Sue the board, sue the township.
Okay.
And they have a legal basis to do that, which our attorney says they do,
right.
Then they win, and they get it anyway.
Right.
I didn't say that. I never want to say on the record that they would win.
Well,
another thing I want to say.
You didn't want to say that, but it's possible. If they win, they get what they want.
Right. I work for the Public Works Department. We have 34 easements, 15 ponds that I maintain with a crew of guys. Adding this to the list wouldn't be a problem for us either. And I'm the next door neighbor. If it gets overgrown, I'll cut it up. I've been doing it for the past 2 years. I've been doing it because before they owned it, Poland. You know, she didn't really clean it up the area, and I was cleaning it up because I want to make the township look great. I've been there for 5 years. I worked for the township. We have all these easements in town. We have Henry, the Bat. We have Hampton Hollow, all these easements. I'm sure the township can absorb this lot. That's what I feel. I feel it good.
It's not a decision that's made by this one.
But just an idea of mine.
All right.
That's all. Anything else?
It fixed there.
But that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Michelle, correct? Yeah. Michelle, can you produce some support, please advise? You're still on the road.
Okay. To ask a more legal question is what he said. Pulling was the prior owner. You absolutely, in my opinion, probably zoned for out of right, when you do the slopes. If you had a lot, it was a subdivided lot, and then you put this ordinance in place. But that ordinance came before. He bought the lot. He knew darn well it had already been zoned out of each other. He bought it, coming in here to get variances to build. Had any of us in that community known it, we would have bought the lot. We would have bought it and dedicated it to the township to keep it a conservation lot. He's gaming the system.
Right.
Else? Passing, no one else will close the public portion at 8:28. I think we did last meeting. It's like the 2 foot.
Yeah, it's a little.
Yeah. I mean, we'll discuss it now when we have a report discussion.
I'm on
back. Yeah, we'll open it up for one question.
Well, I think it's a legal question, but I get the idea of a hard skip. But I thought you put in claim when you create your own hardship. If he bought this lot, he created his own hardship. So how's he going to sue you?
Well, it's not creating your own hardship. He bought the property. Hardship was created by the ordinance.
Which is before you.
Right. That doesn't mean he created it. And I'm not even sure, like I looked at the site, if this ordinance was in effect, I'm not sure how many homes we built. I mean, I'm not sure if the neighbor's house, I would probably suspect if that subdivision was about 5-6 lots, probably have been 1 lot if they did it today. But we're stuck with the lot. The town didn't have this time the lot was created.
I understand that. And again, I think the owner at the time that it was changed has a right. I don't think I'm just, again, thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, now the portion is closed again at 8:30.
Wait, I'm kidding.
All right. Gotta have some fun tonight. We'll try.
I need to say, this is important to the public. I have a problem with the tree erosion, but from what's being testified, I don't have a problem with the infection.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that clear. Play both of them if you see.
Okay.
Also, a little soil conservation.
I just add that we might, with the tree replacement that Mary's mentioned, we go to your arborist for her recommendations of what we should plan to the building.
Well, that's kind of what I just believe in the comments. I would prefer to get her opinion to see the property.
Okay.
Not that I don't believe him, but she's in the town. She knows Millstone. She knows all of our soils. Right. She knows our trees.
Yeah, I'm well aware. Lisa's a very well-respected expert.
I would feel better if you had her opinion. She actually saw the property.
And in speaking with the applicant, I understand that the applicant would not object to that being a condition if the board was so moved to act favorably. Is that correct?
We're single bed there. Graph there.
You know, if you want to hear a professional's opinion about the site and what's going on the site, hear their opinion, right? That may affect what you decide. It may not affect the general approval issue, but it may affect where they're bringing the electric. You know, putting our approval in somebody or in a professional's hand while we do it, bad waste not problem. Okay. just simply to say, all right, subject to review and approval of our tree expert in the town. It's kind of just like giving your authority away and not knowing what she's going to say and how it would affect you. I think really, really want to hear but she has, and you've heard from Matt saying she has the insight and she has concerns. Maybe the issue is, okay, we carry wait to hear from her because you may say, you know what? In all due respect to the arborvitae's property, there's way more than trees than any of us will ever. That you don't want to risk
running the electric through there. Or maybe you want to just put it up on a pole and run it across. You don't have to disturb anything. But maybe that's what our professional will say. And you're just giving her that. And she says, no, put a pole. But you're like, absolutely, that's one thing. I hate the way it looks. You'd rather hear her say that than you make your informed decision. Okay. That's just my feeling. All right. Regarding that, if you're comfortable with what it is, you're comfortable with this. If you want to hear from your expert, you want to hear from your expert.
All right. So why don't we, do you have anything to sum up or respond to any of the public's comments at this point?
Just very basically, as we all know, we have a pre-existing non-conforming lot. A lot that fronts on a public approved right of way with utility access. We've done everything we can to mitigate the impact on the slopes by way of the direction of drilling. And we do have the competent testimony of a state-recognized arborist who's serving a dozen municipalities that this directional drilling will address the concerns that the town's arborist, who does not typically review bulk bearings applications and provides advisory guidance to the town's board as a subcommittee and not a professional who appears at public meetings, we've had our professional address. Certainly the board's pleasure as to how they act and when they act. But I would simply submit that we've provided you with competent, more than competent basis for you to approve the application tonight, if you so please.
All right. Let's go into our board discussion. Anybody want to start? If not, I will. Okay. So again, what we have here is the applicant's attorney just testified. Stated, it's a non-conforming lot. It's already been created. It does not meet the steep slope requirements. And again, it doesn't mean that it's not buildable. What it means is the person that wants to build has to come in front of this board for variances. And that's what they've done. And that's the purpose of this grant variances in these situations. Or deny them if they're not justified. So, nothing unusual. I know some of the members of the public have concerns about, you know, what's going on here, but it's all standard zoning board business. I mean, this is what we're here to do. And, you know, so the key thing is, did the applicant provide the proper proofs that the variances are justified? And we can take them, you know, one at a time. The height variance, it's 2 feet on a 30-something foot building. I don't think anyone can tell the difference from the street. You know, even up close to the yard. So I don't have any issues with that. We asked the applicant to minimize the disturbance of the steep slopes. And they've come back. They've created the conservation easement in response to that. They've offered to do the directional drilling, again, to keep utilities underground and to minimize any digging or trenching. I think that's, you know, a reasonable thing, a reasonable approach to minimize disturbances on steep slopes. You know, with regard to the amount of property, that's flat enough, you know, the size requirement of the non-steep areas, although there's really not much they can do about that. So I think they've done all they can to minimize the variance. Again, that's the function of the zoning. Make sure that the applicant's done all they can to minimize the variances when they actually go and build on these. I think they've made, you know, very good attempt to do exactly that. I don't see any more that really require them to do here. They've agreed to, you know, address concerns with runoff by additional plantings. I don't see anything more we really ask them to do to really mitigate the variances. And, you know, beyond that, it's, you know, the positives and negatives of the application. Again, you know, some of the negatives are we have the ordinance. That's why they have to come here. That's why we have to put conditions in place, conservation easements in place to protect the slopes. I'm generally leaning towards approval on this application, given the constraints and with the applicant as it is. So that's my thoughts on it. Board members, what do you think? So, thank you.
I can't hear you.
Okay. I would prefer if the applicant reduce the height variance. I'm going to try to do what we can to help affect the application if it gets approved. And maybe even, but I'm not sure we can ask him to do that, is build a smaller house because he only has 3/4 of the building envelope. Maybe propose a smaller home. But I'm okay with the bigger home too because I've been in that neighborhood and some of the homes are large and some are moderately sized. There's no small home in the subdivision. I know that if he gets an approval, he has to have electric. So if there's an objection to going up to drilling the way that he's proposing, as opposed to drilling up the driveway, he still has to drill. But rewinding back to what Mary's concern is, if Mary or any of the board members are concerned about Lisa Rosati's testimony and that they prefer to hear from her directly, then I'm okay with that too. I'm here to make certain that everybody is certain about the decision that they're making. So I could make a decision tonight or one way or the other, up or down, or I could wait. Reserve my decision for after release of Rosati from his testimony. But I'm not certain that Lisa Rosati's testimony is going to change somebody's opinion whether this should be approved or not. Because her opinion is that she doesn't like the direction. Now, the other option for laying in the electric utility mat is to just dig a trench, right? With conventional trenching.
Find out where it's coming from, what it takes to get digging of the boots.
Well, again, the whole idea of the directional drilling, from my understanding, is to avoid trenching, disturbing the slopes anymore. And also, if you dig a trench, then you're sure to, hit some shallow roots, which we heard a testimony are, the feeder roots that, the trees would be disturbed, possibly died to pick up. So, to me, the directional drilling is preferable here over the trench.
I'm not saying one way or the other. The only comment I brought up was if the board wants to hear from Lisa Rosati directly and the majority feels that way, then I'm comfortable with that too.
I will say, Paul, how many people want to hear Lisa's opinion on this direction? People feel that's necessary.
As I stated before, I don't have a problem with directional drilling. I just don't have a picture in my mind how steep this driveway is, that if we take all those trees out, how much erosion is going to be. Now, Lisa can provide testimony or if they have a picture and he's sitting there and like there to show me, then.
Your concern is more driveway.
Yes, I'm all right with the direction of drilling. But okay. I spoke to the utility. I understand now that he explained it in the 15-foot depth. They're just going to come up with that drilling. I did look it up and it's probably fine. Like I said, the feeder roots are up on the top and they're going to be. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Like Steve said, I think they have to get electric apps.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just have a problem with the driveways. I can't picture. Did you drive by it? You saw the driveway?
No, I've been in that development many times over the years. And it's a hill with trees. And it has houses on both sides and across the street. So, I mean, if there's going to be a house there, there has to be electric, right?
Right. You could always make the tree, I'm sorry to interrupt, you know, if you're talking about the trees with the driveway, you could make the tree replacement subject to human approval of Lisa. What trees get planted, where you get planted, if you're just talking about the driveway.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, because he stated, and I know, if you put in a small tree, it's not going to take care of the erosion right away. So I'm just trying to think what happens in the meantime if there's erosion.
Right.
The fact that they said that one time they had the flood, that the landslide, I don't know anything about that, but that just gives me a little bit of...
Right, but that's not uncommon as an appropriate condition that require the applicant to get approval of their tree replacement plan and for the removal of the trees in the driveway by our tree expert. And they have to comply with what trees they want, what she wants, where she wants. That's different, which is a normal, not an unreasonable condition.
I think that's a good idea. Anyone object to that condition?
You have more Steve or
anyone else want to share their thoughts on this?
I'd like to agree with the group. They already kind of said they would make it smaller. Why not? Why not stay within the variance? Why?
I want to get rid of the height variance?
My feeling is all of that, as I said this before, for the zoning, we don't design. It's either the applicant wants a height variance or he doesn't want a height variance. Either grant the height variance or you don't grant the height variance. It's really the applicant says, this is what I want, whether it gets approved. So as we sit here, he wants a height variance. You could deny the application. You could deny the application because there's not enough proofs that justify a height variance. Or the applicant say, you know what? I don't even want you to vote on it. I'm going to revise my plans. You know, you've heard testimony regarding the height is, oh, it's for the roof.
Yeah.
It's for architectural enhancement for 2 feet. I'm not sure that's a land use appropriate reason, not a C1 variance, right? There's nothing unique about the property that would warrant a height variance. Is it a C2 variance? Is it a better planning alternative to have a 2 foot height variance than not having a height variance? And how does that support, how is that deviation supported by the master plan? I mean, we really haven't heard anything about that. So, it's up to the applicant what they want to do. And we vote on that.
Yeah, but the applicant did testify and say that reducing the height would not be an issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get clarity on.
Sure. He's
willing to do that. It's not an issue. Can we take that back?
It's up to the applicant.
That was agreed upon last time.
My point is, I do not like when applicants say, I want this, but if you don't say no, I could do something different. It's kind of like, no, just tell us what you want. We'll tell you whether you get it or not. It's not our decision to design. That's my point. And I think it puts the board in a proper position to say, I like this. I don't like that. You can modify. If you want the variance, apply for the variance. If you don't want the variance, go apply for it. But it's not that if you guys don't like it. No, that's not what we do here. They have a burden of proof of what they request. That's always one of my little pet peeves. Is I don't like when applicants say, I need a variance, but I can get rid of it if you don't want me to. But don't ask for it.
Well, that's kind of where I was confused. I needed clarity on what do they mean when they say that?
At the last hearing, I didn't think the height variance was an issue. I thought I heard that you know, was a concern. Maybe I heard wrong. You know, it was dangerous.
My understanding that was going to be addressed.
Okay, well, I didn't hear that on the tapes, but maybe that's...
I think it was kind of left up, well, you tell me what you want to do, which I can't, that be. No, not what we did. If you want or you don't, and then we vote.
Looks like the applicant's ready to state something. So, you want to state something about the height variance?
We were trying to make it fit the neighborhood, but if it's a problem, we'll just...
Okay, it sounds like it's a problem.
We're going to keep it short.
The request for the height.
The request for the height variance is that has to be meeting the height requirements. All right, one variance. Anybody else have comments they want to share? A
couple comments. Just in general, I think the whole thing about having utility coordination meeting with the power company was prior to you mentioning that it could potentially do directional drilling, because originally it was a trench dug from up. I don't think, I have no objection to the directional drilling, but many times. But I think that's where we were kind of, there was a little ambiguity with that because we were considering the utility coordination meeting to see if you could get power control versus directional drilling. At the time it was trenching, and now with the directional drilling, I think, you know, I think it's reasonable. You mentioned it's going to be trenching up the driveway or directional drilling, it's 6 1/2 dozen of the other. So I'm fine with that. I think the only thing I think that wasn't addressed, I think we brought up in the last meeting, was, and I think Steve, you had mentioned this as well, any consideration to reduce the square footage of the home to be proportional to the available lot size based on that. That was, I think, one thing that we brought up.
The building of it.
Building it.
That wasn't changed on the plans, wasn't that?
No.
Right, so they're not proposing that.
Yeah.
So if you have an issue with the size of the house or a footprint, then
the home does not create a bulk variance. So you usually see a situation where in an upsized lot that you build too big of a house on upsized lot, setback variance come into play, lot coverage variance came into play. Just building coverage comes into play. We don't really have that here.
All right.
I think that was more of a concern of the public as well.
It fits. There's a lot of large houses in that neighborhood on steep slopes. A lot of steep slopes in that neighborhood. All right. Anyone else have anything they want to share? Okay. At this point, I'd like ask one of the board members to make a motion to either approve or deny this application. But before that, I'd like Greg to run through any conditions of approval he may have captured that should be put to approve this. Conditions, I have to write notes, so they do it wrong, of course. The Environmental Commission suggested plantings be included in the newly constructed driveway. I've modified that condition that the applicant add additional landscaping around driveway, including tree replacement, which is subject to review and approval by our tree expert for number of trees and location or other plantings. Okay. Matt's report, he had four conditions in there, which were provide a maintenance manual for the recharge system. He did testify regarding the soil, but I have a condition, if exceed soil removal requirements of ordinance must appear for board for soil removal permit. Remember, we have that ordinance.
That would be a variance or a
permit? No, that'd be a permit under the conditions. They'd have to ask for their standards within our permit.
Do you guys have any problem if this thing goes to 500 or 600 cubic yards of soil?
Well,
I don't know what that is.
Doesn't the ordinance trigger?
The truck is 15 to 20 yards.
Right, but if the ordinance says
the threshold
is 400, and if it goes over 400, then yeah, don't let it be your responsibility.
Yeah.
Let it be ours.
You don't want to handle it right now.
Well, because the applicant has testified that it's not going to be 400. If when they're doing it, it's over 4, they've come to the board. That's their problem.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. They'll come back if they have to. They don't think they have to, right?
They shouldn't have to go 30% over.
They're just digging a basement. They should know how big the basement is over.
Easy calculation. Revise the index sheet and also obtain outside agency approvals to improve soil. The tree clearing for the conservation with dedication and markers requirements, the County Board of Health and Stormwater, in the M manual, which I indicated. That condition that the gas and the cable are to be run near the driveway, so, which is what they testified to. Prior to the trench drilling, inspected by the township engineer for approval of drilling. And the applicant has withdrawn his hypercuffs. That's the condition I have. And also they modified the plans, referencing, was the plan said 580, but it's really 560. The applicant revised the plan to indicate the area disturbance, which says 580 to 560.
That's it. Okay. All right. So now I'd like to ask what board members make a motion to approve the application. Given the conditions Greg just read, or if you have additional ones, you state that they are. Or alternatively, a motion to deny the application. Someone make a motion, please. I'll make a motion. And the motion is to grant. Approve the application subject to the conditions of the credit. Okay. Can we get a second, please? Second. I'll second it. Why not? Roll call.
Chairman Novolina?
Yes.
Mr. Lambros?
No.
Mr. Morelli?
No.
Mr. Mostyn?
Yes.
Mr. Sinha?
Yes.
Ms. Beckish?
Yes.
Motion approved.
Yeah. Well, the resolution is up for the next meeting, and then you could achieve with your project.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your time.
Okay. So thank you. Okay. We have any new business?
I have some business. I would like to say thank you to our chairman. It's been a pleasure working with you, and I want to wish you luck on your adventure. And we're going to miss you here on the board, so I want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure working.
I'll second that. It's been a pleasure working with everyone on this board over the last. I've been chairman 17 years now.
1995.
Yeah. 17.
Started in
2005.
I think Steve was here.
Both of it started with me.
But it was good. We are incredibly thankful and very lucky to have you in our town doing what you're doing, helping the town plan personal. And even before that, you were involved. And your wife, too. We're really lucky to have people like you, especially you, you know. And, you know, I personally thank you for keeping us track paying attention to all the details, inspiring others to pay attention to details, and leading the way that you have, making the public feel like they're part of it, and that this board is doing a great job for the public, you know, not really burning out the thing that's coming from. You know, so I'm incredibly grateful for the leadership, for whoever's coming in, who set a perfect example.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
With that said, this board and all the boards, the volunteerism and the dedication to the protection and you know, looking out for the township doesn't go unnoticed. You know, from the professionals to the volunteers to the you know secretaries and land use and everybody else. Your work here is vital to keeping this town the way it is. So it definitely doesn't go unnoticed. And I thank you and the committee, thank you for everything that you guys do. And for almost 2 decades, you've been sitting here. And like Steve said, your guidance, your leadership, your direction, and your just experience just comes through and it shows. And thank you for everything that you've done. And I'd like to give you a present. So you can take it right.
You can take this with you.
Yes, sure. Sure.
Oh, my, thank
you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Did you
take the second holder? No, the holder now. Get on my chest.
Thanks. So, being that it's public, what I'd like to do is invite everybody to the September 7th Township Committee meeting. We'd like to give Mr. Novellino, Chairman Novellino, a certificate of appreciation for all of the work and volunteers and everything that he's done for almost 2 decades. So if you guys could, you know, jot it down in the calendar at 8 o'clock, September 7th, if you guys could come and join us and celebrate, you know, what he's done and, you know, what he's accomplished for us, that would be great. So we could say thank you to me formally.
I'll be there.
I appreciate it. That's all I have to say. But thank you.
Thanks, sir. Are we still recording? We still
we are.
Yeah, we're still in a public meeting. Oh, I guess we better close the public meeting then. All right. Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor? Meeting adjourned.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Right.
Well done.
All right. Thank you.
And thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're all going to